Mayik, aka May, was a 24-year-old TikTok influencer from the UK. Now, May's TikTok wasn't different from anyone else's TikTok page. She would sometimes post things like makeup videos, fashion content, with the occasional lip-syncing videos or dancing trends. And a couple of TikToks that May would also post were TikToks with her mother, who was 44-year-old Anne Serene. Now, ironically, these posts actually did the best on her page because, I mean, it's no secret, Anne Serene looks great for her age. So all of the comments would be flooded with things like, can your dad fight? Or, oh my god, where's the mom? I thought you guys were sisters. Now, May actually had a pretty large following on TikTok, and her mother seemed to be a part of it a lot because her mom was also getting attention because May had noticed that the TikToks she posted with her mom would be the most popular. And so often, because of that, she would include her mom in a lot of her TikToks and even TikTok lives. And one specific TikTok live, May and Anne Serene were on live just answering questions until one of the questions from a random user just said, quote, tell your mom to call me. And at first, May just kind of laughs this off because, as I said, like, people were making MILF comments at her mom 24/7. So she just kind of thought that maybe this was a ploy of like, oh, tell your mom to call me, like sort of flirting a little bit. But in the footage, you can actually see Anne Serene become a bit uncomfortable. And then about 5 minutes later, she leaves to go to the bathroom. And on this phone call is when Anne Serene would make a call to a young man, and she was on the phone with this young man for about 5 minutes. She was repeatedly saying things such as, don't do this, you can't bring my daughter into this, before she eventually hangs up with this unknown caller. And then shortly after that, Anne Serene will receive a text message saying, quote, one click and it's all over. So this story actually starts back in 2019 when May first got her large following on TikTok. May was actually pretty serious about her TikTok following and becoming a full-time influencer. I mean, at the time she was even going to college, to which she dropped out of college just to pursue TikTok full-time. Over time, May would also include her other family members like her mom, her dad, and her brothers into her TikToks. She would often make vlogs on her YouTube of her and her family going on vacations. And also a part of May's TikTok brand was that she was Muslim. And May would often say on her vlogs and her TikTok that her and her whole family were very devout and faithful Muslims, to which May would also post a lot of TikToks about being Muslim. And then over time, when May got such a huge following, that's when she would also start to receive presents from all of these companies. So she would receive things like clothes, makeup. There were even like restaurants and bars and especially hookah lounges in the area that she would get invited to just to get paid and make content there. And ironically, May would always bring her mom to all of these events. Now, and this wasn't as weird as it may sound, and it's mostly because May and her mom were best friends. They did everything together, they told each other everything, and so when May would go out to all of these social gatherings, she was a little bit nervous because she didn't want to go by herself, so she would just bring her mom with. And over time, when May started to make more TikToks and she realized how well her mom was doing, that's when she started to convince her mom to make an Instagram and TikTok account of her own. May would go on to tell her mom, you know, I'm getting invited to all of these restaurants and these bars and these hookah lounges. I have all these companies sending me stuff. Imagine if you yourself had a social media account, we'd be making basically double of everything that I have right now. And so that's when Anne Serene did. She made herself her own Instagram and TikTok, and this was a whole new territory for Anne Serene. Because a little bit of backstory on Anne Serene got married at a very, very young age. She actually had plans of going to college after high school, but all of that was halted when one day her parents came to her and said that they had found a husband for her and she needs to get married and immediately start having kids. And so all of her years of youth and all of her dreams of going to college were just sort of flushed down the drain for her. And so this was sort of a second opportunity to live out the younger years that she wasn't able to live out in the moment. And so then over time, Anne Serene also would be frequently invited to restaurants and bars and hookah lounges, and companies was also sending her like clothes and makeup. And as I said, this was a huge change for Anne Serene, because Anne Serene before this has been a housewife for more than 20 years. And now for the first time in her life, she's going out and being social, she's going clubbing, she's going to parties. piece. And also, she's getting hit on a lot more than usual. When May and Aunt Serene would go out together, a lot of people would compliment Aunt Serene, saying that she was a MILF and that she was gorgeous and she looked amazing for her age. And Aunt Serene, of course, was kind of soaking all of this in. She sort of loved the attention that she was getting from this. Now, if you guys have never heard of the app Azar, Azar was very famous during COVID because it is a dating app, but instead of, you know, like a typical dating app where you scroll through someone's pictures and you scroll through their bio, Azar is kind of like an Omegle, but mostly for dating. So instead of like looking at a profile, you're basically just video chatting with random people. And so one day, Aunt Serene is at her house with her niece and no one else was home, and her niece is scrolling through this app Azar, and then that's when she matches with one specific guy and the two of them start having a conversation. Through this conversation, her niece goes on to say like, oh, I'm at my aunt's house right now, and ironically, my cousin May is really TikTok famous. Like, you've definitely seen her before, and if you look through her TikTok, you may also see my aunt. She's also on there as well. So that's when her niece walks over to Aunt Serene and shows the phone to Aunt Serene and is like, oh, you know, see, look, this is my aunt. She's the one that's in the videos. And so Aunt Serene says hi, she introduces herself, and then shortly after that, that's when the man on the phone introduces himself as 27-year-old Saqib. After this very small exchange, Aunt Serene just kind of goes about her business. She doesn't really, you know, think about it too much until later on the next day. That's when Aunt Serene is looking through her Instagram DMs, and that is when she finds a DM from a man named Saqib. So she looks at his profile, and what do you know? It's the same guy that was on Azar. So now she's a little bit interested because now this guy is going out of her way to get in contact with her. So she replies to his messages and the both of them start talking. Now let us not forget, Aunt Serene is very much married at this point. And before I even get into it, this isn't even Aunt Serene's first affair. Aunt Serene has had one affair before with a married man with kids. And so this isn't even her first affair, but she starts talking to Saqib one-on-one every single day. And over time, they both get extremely close to where now Aunt Serene is like on FaceTime with Saqib 24/7. Every time Aunt Serene's husband wasn't home, her and Saqib would constantly be on FaceTime with one another. Even if they weren't even doing anything, like he would just be on FaceTime on her phone in the background if she's like doing the dishes or laundry. And although Aunt Serene was able to hide this relationship from her husband, it was very hard to hide anything from May because, as I said, them two were best friends. So there was a couple times where May had noticed that her mom was on the phone with this young man, but Aunt Serene just kind of told May like, oh, that's just my friend Saqib, we're really good friends. But I also think it's very important to mention that during this time, as I said, Saqib said that he was 27. In reality, Saqib was only 18 years old when they first met. Now, this information wouldn't come out until later on, but I thought it was important to mention it here because I think his behavior shows a little bit and it makes things make more sense. But over time, Saqib's feelings for Aunt Serene got so much more intense, where he was obsessed with Aunt Serene. Every time he found out that Aunt Serene was going to be at a local hookah lounge or some sort of bar or restaurant, he would randomly show up and pay the entire bill for Aunt Serene. He would frequently send her Uber Eats to her house and so she could enjoy a meal. He would send her multiple gifts and designer bags. He was basically just spoiling Aunt Serene because he was obsessed with her. And then over time, inevitably, things got a little bit more sexual, where now over FaceTime, their conversations were getting a little bit more flirty, a little bit more sexual, and they would even furthermore engage in sexual acts over FaceTime. After that, these secret FaceTime rendezvous would later turn into Saqib going over to Aunt Serene's house and performing sexual acts to each other in person. Now, since Aunt Serene is a 44-year-old woman, she has her life already. You know, she has her kids, she's lived her life, she has her husband, she has a house, she has everything she needs in life. And so from her to Saqib, Saqib is just kind of like a fun little boy toy for her. Like, she's not really serious about the relationship, it's just fun and exhilarating. But for Saqib, it was the complete opposite. opposite. He loved answering and he wanted a life with her. He would do anything for her. He would buy her everything she wanted. He would provide for her in every way that he could because, once again, he's only 18 years old. Like, his life has barely started yet. And then 2 years later, into this affair going on, that is when Anserine decides to put her foot down and try to stop this relationship. Anserine told Saqib that she didn't want to keep up with these lies anymore. She has been stressed out these entire 2 years trying to keep this relationship a secret from her husband. And at this point, she's just tired of hiding. She's tired of running away. She just wants it all to be over with already. And so Anserine tries to meet up with Saqib at a local hotel in order to break things off in person. But unfortunately, this attempt didn't really work because at the end of the night, they just ended up sleeping with each other. And then after this, they went back to normal. But now, going back to their relationship after she attempted at breaking it off, Saqib was 10 times more clingier to Anserine than he was before, because now he believed in his head that Anserine had plans on leaving him. So he would call her up to 5 to 10 times a day, asking her where she was, who she was with, how long she was going to be there for. He would constantly ask for her location to see where and what she was doing all day. Saqib would often make threats to Anserine, saying that he was going to hurt himself if Anserine ever left him. And even though Anserine was barely replying to any of his messages, she at this point just really wanted everything to be over with. Saqib would continuously send her gifts. He would actually send like the tracking number and the receipt for the gift and say little things like, oh, this one's for you, it's coming today. And Anserine in a way felt sort of stuck because she felt like if she accepted these gifts, then that would give Saqib the hope that maybe there could be something more in between them and that would bring Saqib more into her life. But if she declined the gifts, she knew Saqib was going to get really mad and she didn't want to deal with that. She didn't want to deal with like his anger and what he was going to say and what he was going to do. So she really was just sort of stuck. And then in December of 2021, that's when one day May and her mother Anserine were on TikTok live. As you may have guessed, Saqib was the one who came into the chat and said, tell your mom to call me. Due to this, Anserine was very scared. And so she ran to the bathroom and had this whole conversation with him saying that she's done. This is over. She wants nothing to do with him and to just stay out of her life and keep her family out of it. And so then after this phone call, Saqib would obviously beg for Anserine back, but Anserine would put her foot down. She said, no, this is stopping right now. I can't talk to you. But right before she was about to block Saqib's number, that is when Saqib would then reply to those messages with multiple photos and videos of all of their sexual interactions. Saqib had secretly taken photos and videos of Anserine and him during their affairs at her house, and he would also take multiple FaceTime photos of Anserine when they were over FaceTime doing things. And so Anserine is looking at all of this and she is shocked. But most of all, she has a feeling that this is it. You know, if this gets out, her family is crushed. And also, as I said, Anserine was really starting her social media career right now, and she sort of built most of her brand on being a devout and faithful Muslim. And so if this sort of thing came out, it would ruin her career, her entire family, and it would also ruin May's career as well. And so Anserine once again felt like she was being pushed in a corner. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who to talk to about this until overall, she just stopped replying to his messages. Saqib was sending her messages such as, quote, what do you think would happen if I sent these to your husband? Or, quote, I like this one. Do you think I should post it on Twitter or send it to your daughter? And to this, Anserine was never replying to his messages. And for the next couple of days, he stopped texting and things sort of went quiet. And so Anserine had a moment of relief because she thought that maybe this was finally all over. Until circulating online were deepfakes of May performing sexual acts onto people. As I said, on May's TikTok, she would frequently talk about how she was a devout Muslim. And so doing something like this was extremely disrespectful to her, and she didn't want these sorts of things going around on the internet. And before you guys say it, yes, they were deep fakes. You could clearly tell they are deep fakes because the eyes and the mouth and the nose do not match up with each other at all. And when May would cry to her mom about, you know, who's making all of these deep fakes, I don't know what I did to deserve this, answering in the back of her head knows exactly who did this. And so now that she's starting to realize this affair is affecting her family too, she decides to one day sit May down and basically open up everything to her. Don't worry, it's still me, just thanking the sponsor of today's episode, ZocDoc. Now, if any of you guys have ever had this anxious feeling towards going to the doctor, because I know I 100% have, I don't know what it is about going to like a doctor environment, especially when you don't know who your doctor is gonna be or anything like that. And also just opening up to a doctor can be a little bit uncomfortable. But thankfully, if you feel the same way, that's where ZocDoc enters. The place where you can find and book doctors who make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. Are you that one friend in the friend group that loves to treat themselves, such as refusing to make coffee at home because you rather get coffee outside at that fancy coffee shop? Opt for extra legroom seat on a plane because your vacation starts right now? Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything in life, why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health. ZocDoc has tons of different doctors to choose from, and I'm not just talking about a few. We're talking tens and thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure that the vibes are vibing before you ever meet IRL. We all know that there's things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doctor you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And these doctors have verified reviews from actual real patients. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is anywhere between 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. I personally love ZocDoc, and I feel like everyone should get on it at least once just to try it out. Go to ZocDoc.com/behind and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book top rated doctors today. That's ZocDoc.com/behind. ZocDoc.com/behind. Thank you so much to ZocDoc for sponsoring today's episode. Now back to your episode. She told May about the affair. She told her about how they met on Azar, how they had sexual interactions with each other over FaceTime and in the house, and he had kept all the photos and videos of her and was also blackmailing her into staying with him or else he would release everything. And so of course May at first was very angry with her mother because her mother had just cheated on her dad for the second time. And now, because of her mom's affair, all of these deepfakes are spreading of her all over the internet, and it's completely ruining her career. It's completely ruining her reputation. And so now her anger sort of shifts from her mother and now on to Saqib. And now it's Saqib's fault that her family is falling apart. And it's Saqib's fault that he won't let her mother leave the relationship. And it's Saqib's fault that her career is now in jeopardy because he's circulating these deepfakes online. And so May comforts her mother and tells her, you know, it's fine, it's gonna be okay. I know a couple of guys will get Saqib jumped, will really scare him. He won't harass us anymore. Maybe if we just do something to him to scare him and teach him a lesson, he'll leave. And so that's when May would later call her best friend Rakan. And she would explain to Rakan nothing about how her mom was cheating on her dad, and her mom is literally one of the main reasons why they're in the situation that they're in. She completely ignores that, and she just tells Rakan that there's this guy named Saqib, and he's currently doing all of these deep fakes of her online. It's insanely disgusting, it's disrespectful to all women, and Rakan needs to send his guys over to Saqib and teach him a lesson so that they back off and they stop harassing them. And in that moment is when May and Rakan would start to develop a plan that would actually later on get 8 people in jail. May wanted to use Rakan as the middleman, and so she told Rakan to ask Saqib to name his price, and whatever price he gave, they were going to pay him back in cash in return for his word to not talk to the family again. And so that's when Saqib had responded and said that he wanted $3,800. But giving this money to Saqib was not going to be as easy as it sounds, because Saqib was trying everything in the book to string this family along. He would make up excuses saying that he wanted more money, that he wanted less money, that he actually wanted this and that, and he can't meet up this day, but he can meet this day. And then on that day, he would cancel and reschedule. And so it just got to a point where one day, Ansreen actually told Saqib herself and said, "You better meet us at the Tesco parking lot tonight at 1:30 a.m. and I will give you your money, and you need to promise to leave us alone." So Saqib agrees, and he agrees to meet them in the Tesco parking lot that night. But unfortunately, what Saqib didn't know is also in the parking lot that night would not just be May and Ansreen, but 6 other individuals waiting for him. As this crime pursues, you are going to realize that this is a very messy and last-minute crime. And even to this day, people argue if whether or not the people involved even knew what they were getting into before actually getting in the car and going to the parking lot that night. It was said by multiple individuals in the group that Rakan had randomly called them asking if they wanted to go play Monopoly at the hookah lounge, but then when they got in the car, that's when they were made aware that they were going to go and jump a guy. And that is exactly the excuse that Rakan gave his best friend Muhammad at 12:30 a.m. when he called him and asked if Muhammad would want to come out to the hookah lounge and play Monopoly. And so Muhammad was down, you know, he didn't really have anything going on the next day. So then he was later picked up by a black Audi, and in the car was Rakan driving, Ansreen was in the passenger, and May was right next to him in the back seat. And it was on this drive where Muhammad claims is that he was then made aware that they were not going to go to the hookah lounge, but they were actually going to go to a parking lot and, quote, teach this guy a lesson because of what this guy had been doing to May and Ansreen. And it was also uncovered later on that there was no cash in either of the cars because they had brought 2 separate cars. One of the cars was with Muhammad, Rakan, Ansreen, and May, and then the other car was filled with 4 other people, which we'll talk about. But in neither of the cars did they have any cash. So it was pretty obvious that their intention was not to pay Saqib. So they show up to the Tesco parking lot, but Ansreen and May remain in the car while Muhammad and Rakan jump out of the car and kind of stand off to the side nearby just in case, so when Saqib got close enough to the car, he wouldn't be able to see 2 people just randomly sitting in there and he would be able to get jumped. And at 1:30 a.m. in the Tesco parking lot, Saqib did indeed show up. But Saqib was not alone. It was made known that Saqib actually hated driving, and so he would usually always get a drive from friends or family, and on this specific night, he had called multiple friends asking them if he could drive him over to the Tesco around 1:30 in the morning. Now, obviously, all of these friends said no, because that's a little sketchy, you know, why would I drive you out to a Tesco parking lot after they're closed at 1:30 in the morning for you to what? Like, meet up with someone and grab something? It was just a little bit odd, so his friends were like, no, I'm not gonna do that for you. All until Saqib's one friend by the name of Hashim had answered his call and agreed to take him. Now, Saqib never told Hashim what exactly he was going to this parking lot for. He just said that he was going to go over there because he needed to pick up something from a friend. But when Saqib shows up to this parking lot with Hashim, Saqib gets a really bad feeling about this. As you can see in the security footage of the Tesco parking lot, the silver car, which Hashim and Saqib are in, they pull in and they wait there for a little bit and then they pull out, and then shortly after that, you see both cars darting right after it. After this, that is when they will start their high-speed chase going up to 100 miles per hour. There were 42 angles and over 100 cameras that caught this high-speed chase. During this high-speed chase, May had even called Saqib, where she said to him, quote, watch what I do to you. At 1:21 a.m. on security footage, you can see Hashim and Saki being chased down by these two cars, by a blue sedan and a black Audi. Later on, Saqib calls 999 and says that he's currently getting chased by two random cars with his friend Hashim. Now, the family did not want the original call to be released to the public just because the original call is a bit traumatic, but they have released the transcripts, to which it is a little long, I will warn you, but I am going to be reading it right now. Saqib starts off by saying, quote, "I've gone past the Sergi's garage in Lanchester and I'm being followed by two vehicles." The operator goes, "You're being followed by two vehicles?" Saqib says, "Yes, I'm being followed by two vehicles right now." The operator goes, "How do you know you're being followed?" Saqib goes, "They're trying to block me in. They're trying to block me in." The operator says, "Can you get to the police station?" Saqib says, "I can't go to a police station. I need help." The operator says, "What I'm saying is, when you say you can't get to a police station, why can't you get to a police station?" Saqib says, "I can't get to a police station." Operator goes, "Why not?" Saqib says, "There's guys following me. They've got balaclavas on." The operator says, "Right. Are you in a vehicle or are you..." And then Saqib cuts him off and says, quote, "I'm in a vehicle. I just got onto the dual carriageway on A46. The operator says, "You're on A46? What area of A46 are you on?" Saqib goes, "A46. They're trying to ram me off the road." Operator goes, "What area? How can I get someone to you?" Okay, but side note, imagine you're on the phone with the operator and then they ask you how they can get help to you. Like, girl, isn't that your job? I don't know. Anyway, Saqib then goes, quote, "I've gone past Melton Mowbray and I'm being followed by two vehicles." The operator says, "You say you're being followed. I need to get your location, okay?" Saqib says, "They're trying to kill me. I'm going to die." The operator says, "Calm yourself down for a moment, okay?" Saqib says, "Okay, I've gone past A7, Melton Mowbray, and now they're trying to ram me off the road. Two vehicles." The operator says, "Can you get the registration number, please?" Saqib goes, "I can't get a registration. I'm on the dual carriageway." The operator says, "So you're on A607. Which way are you heading? Are you heading to Leicester?" Saqib says, "I can't tell you. My phone's dead." So the operator says, quote, "Your phone's not dead because I'm talking to you." Saqib says, "No, my phone's dead. I'm using my friend's." The operator says, "Right. Where are you heading? Are you heading onto Leicester towards Thurmason?" Saqib goes, "I've gone past Radcliffe College right now and they're trying to kill me. They're trying to kill me. Radcliffe College, I've gone past. They're crashing into my car." The operator says, "Slow down a moment for me. You've given me a lot of information very quickly." Saqib says, "I've gone past Radcliffe College and I'm getting rammed off the road." The operator says, quote, "You're not getting rammed off the road." Saqib then goes, "They're trying to hit the vehicle. They hit onto the side." The operator says, "Oh, you've gone past Radcliffe Road?" Saqib says, "Radcliffe College, I just told you. I've gone past that now. Please, I just need help." The operator says, "Yes, I understand that." Saqib says, "I'm in danger." The operator says, "I understand that. I think you're going a different way to where I think you're going." Saqib says, "I've gone past a sign and that says no access to A607 for HVGs. The operator says, "Oh yes, you're going out to Leicester, aren't you?" Saqib says, "I passed a speed camera now." The operator says, "Yes, okay. I'm arranging help for you now. Bear with me a moment. What's your first name?" Saqib says, "My name is Saqib Hassan." The operator says, "Do you live in Leicestershire yourself?" Goes, "I don't. I live in Branbury. I just came for some food and I was heading back." The operator goes, "You came to Lancaster for some food?" Saqib says, "Yes, I came to Lancaster to see one of my mates. He goes to university here." The operator says, "Right. What's your address?" Saqib then gives his address and he says, quote, "I've just gone by a patrol station now and I'm still being followed by..." And the operator cuts him off and says, "You say you're in the vehicle with someone else?" Saqib says, "I'm in the vehicle with my friend. His name is Muhammad Hashim." The operator says, "Okay, bear with me a moment. I'm getting you help now." Saqib says, "Yeah, they're literally right behind me." The operator says, "Yeah, it's fine. Bear with me a moment. What's your current?" And then Saqib cuts them off and says, quote, "They're hitting the car. They're hitting the back of the car really fast. They're trying to ram us off the road. Please, I'm begging you." The operator says, quote, "Yeah, I'm arranging help for you now." And then after this, Saqib screams, "Oh my God." It's said that after this, you can hear a loud crash in the background before, unfortunately, the line cuts. Now, as you can probably tell from that 911 call, it's very, very frustrating because, I mean, the operator is just asking way too many questions. Saqib is clearly in fear because he's in danger, and this operator is acting like he's lying to them. And I don't know, I feel like the whole attitude and demeanor of the operator was so, like, the opposite of what an operator should be like. I mean, where does it matter where he lives? He's in danger. He needs help where he's at. But unfortunately, nonetheless, later that night at 1:32 a.m. That's when one of the cars would ram into the back of Hashim's car. And this led Hashim and Saqib's car to skid on the side, hit a barrier, went through that barrier, hit a tree, causing the car to split in half, and then the whole car burst into flames. The two other cars involved in the chase sped off shortly after this, where they met up in a local parking lot, where there's actual footage of them meeting up at this parking lot, where it seems like all of them are investigating the damage on their cars before getting back into the car and actually driving past the crash. And the car had burst into flames. I mean, even looking at this car from down the road, it looked like a huge bonfire. It was definitely an eyesore. And so these two cars drove past the fire, and not a single person in any of the cars felt a weird sense of guilt or shame or even tried to call for help. Like, not even anonymously calling for help. They just simply couldn't care less. After this, both vehicles stopped in the park of a suburban neighborhood to walk around for a little bit, and they are seen on security footage walking around, to which it's assumed that during this hour they were walking, they were trying to think of a good alibi and a story that they could tell to the police. And the only person that didn't join this walk was Muhammad. Muhammad actually later got out the car, which he just walked himself home. And the body language in this footage is very eerie because it does not look like the type of people that just caused a crash and then later killed two people. They were laughing, they were joking, they were talking. And then shortly after this walk is when all of them drove home. Now, back at the crime scene, paramedics and firefighters were later called, and it took them a whole 45 minutes just to put out the fire before the firefighters had realized that there was two bodies underneath this car. The two bodies were 21-year-old Saqib Hussain and 21-year-old Muhammad Hashim. Both of them had died upon impact, and found that due to the crash, the engine had detached from the car, but it's assumed that both of them had been passed away way before it caught on fire. Later after this, the police had looked through the footage of that night of the highways, and they saw that this silver car was being heavily chased by a black Audi and a blue sedan. And so they ran the plates on the black Audi specifically, and that actually went back to May's house that it was registered in their name. So the police showed up to May and Ansreen's home, and when they did, they decided to arrest May's little brother. May's little brother was not in the car, by the way. Police just went there and assumed that since he was a guy, then this was probably something that he did. And so they just straight up arrested him. And what's even worse is the entire time Ansreen and May were watching him get arrested and said nothing. They didn't say, you know, stop, this was all me. Not even Aunt Serene said that. They literally just let him get arrested and didn't say a word. Now, police would quickly later find out that they got the wrong guy, and the only reason that the police thought that May's brother was the one to blame for this is because they had a phone pinged in the black Audi that was moving that night, and that phone was registered under the little brother's name. But that phone was actually Aunt Serene's phone, but Aunt Serene's phone was just put under May's little brother's name. So that's why the police thought it was him, but quickly they found out that it wasn't him and it was actually May and Aunt Serene. So they went back later the next day and arrested the both of them. On February 11th, 2022, that's when the police showed up to the home and arrested May and Aunt Serene. And at first they preached innocence. They said that they had nothing to do with this and this has nothing to do with them. Even when May went to the station, she actually made up this whole fake story about how the night of the crash, she was actually in the car with her mother, and her mother and her were driving, and all of a sudden she saw this random like high speed chase going on, and she didn't know what was happening. And she even makes note in her interrogation to say that since she's a good driver, she tends to keep at least two cars of distance between herself and the car in front of her. So during this high speed chase, she's keeping kind of far from it, but she's concerned. She's asking her mom, you know, what's going on, what's happening, and her mom weirdly is giving her these really weird responses, such as, quote, "Don't worry about it, May. It has nothing to do with you." And quote, "May, just keep your distance. Stay out of this. This isn't about you." But shortly after Saqib had passed away, that's when Saqib's family came forward to the police and mentioned that Saqib was having this affair with a married woman, but he would often call her Anzi, which was a nickname for Aunt Serene. And looking through Saqib's phone, they were able to uncover the entire 2-year relationship between Aunt Serene and Saqib. And although Aunt Serene and May said that they had nothing to do with this, May and Aunt Serene refused to give the police their phones. When May first had her phone confiscated, she gave the police the wrong passcode so that they wouldn't be able to get into her phone. Aunt Serene was a little smart in that she deleted all the pictures and conversations that her and Saqib had ever had, but they later found on Saqib's iCloud all of the pictures and videos of him and Aunt Serene, and not really like the affair videos and pictures. There were also just videos of pictures of them like going on dates, cuddling on the couch, watching TV, taking naps. But from the footage just alone found on Saqib's phone, it was known that Aunt Serene and Saqib must have engaged in physical acts with one another at her home at least 11 times. The police also pinged the phones of the other people that were in the car that night, and ironically, they found that the driver of the blue sedan and the driver of the black Audi were frequently calling each other all night, the night of the crash. And also, let us not forget, May literally called Saqib during that car crash. And so after this, May and her mother and Serene were arrested. And then shortly after that, the other members of the car, who was 22-year-old Natasha Akhtar, 22-year-old Ganaf Gula Mustafa, 27-year-old Amir Jamal, and 22-year-old Rais Jamal, as well as Rakan. Now, at their trial, all 7 of them were actually going to have a joint trial. Now, as I said, there was 8 people involved. Now, the only person that wasn't getting charged was Muhammad. Muhammad's story, out of everyone else's, seemed like he genuinely had nothing to do with this. But not only was it that much of a headache that 7 people were going to be charged at the same trial, all 7 of them pled not guilty. So all 7 of them had their own lawyer and said their own stories about how they were not involved in the crime. All of them gave this poorly done story about how they were all gonna go to a friend's house and play Monopoly, and then they just randomly drove past this fire that was going on the side of the road, and it had nothing to do with them. They were just driving past it. They had no clue what was going on. May did indeed keep her story until eventually she realized that it was pointless and said, okay, fine. My mom was having an affair with this guy named Saki, but he was threatening me and my family, and he kept threatening to show up at the house and kill my family. And so May felt the need to protect her mother and her family, so she did what she needed to do. And so then that's when May had brought up the deal that they were going to give Saki money, and then the reason why they brought Rakan was because they felt unsafe around Saki and didn't want to be alone with him. May had said that as for the car full of other people in the blue sedan, she had no clue who they were. They were just all of Rakan's friends. May thinks that Rakan called them for backup just in case Saki tried something, but she was really annoyed by this, and she was even more annoyed that Muhammad had gone in the car with them. May said that she did meet with Saki that night, but she had no clue what the blue car was or what they were doing there. May had apologized for lying before and said that she only lied the first time because she was embarrassed of her mom's affair and didn't want people on social media to find out about it because, as I said, she was very TikTok famous. She would even try to argue that Saki wanted to unalive himself and maybe Hashim had crashed the car on purpose, which is actually a sick and twisted and insane route to go. Oh my god, I can't even begin to tell you how messed up that is because Hashim is arguably the only innocent victim here. Now, as I said, only 7 of the 8 were charged, and the one that wasn't charged was Muhammad. Muhammad was found that he genuinely had nothing to do with the crime and just seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So then that's when Muhammad took a deal. If he went to trial and was a star witness and testified against all of them, he would get no jail time and no charges. Now, some people believe that Muhammad was innocent, while others think that maybe he was working with the police to save him. So all 7 of them had a joint trial, and at first it was actually a mistrial because of all of the mess. There were 7 defendants pleading not guilty, so all 7 of them had different public defenders, lawyers, all of them had different versions of the story and pleaded that their client was actually the innocent one. But no matter how much they were pleading innocence, evidence does not lie. They had hours of footage from the night of the murder and angles from 40 different locations. Because we know for a fact that Ansarine, May, and Rakan were in on it, but how do we know if the others were truly in on it or if they were just dragged into it? It's hard to tell if everyone there is pleading innocent. But still, that also doesn't excuse the fact that none of them had the ability, weirdly, to stop the car, stop the driver, the plan, or call the police after the crime, during the crime. At the trial, the defense tried to argue that when an autopsy was done on Hashim's body, a toxicology report was also done, and he was found with a bit of cannabis in his body. And ever since the court found out about that, they ran with it. All of the public defenders and lawyers on the case were saying that Hashim was just high out of his mind, and that's why he was driving recklessly. Hashim's family was also at the trial, and they felt extremely offended by this because their son had nothing to do with this. And these lawyers were trying to bring up cannabis and slander him as if he was some drug addict. The defense also argued that Saki was a dangerous person because he apparently had an ex-girlfriend that he also made threats to when she tried to break up with him. This ex-girlfriend came forward and said that she met Saki at a club and he tried to get at her, but she said no because she had a boyfriend. Eventually, at the end of the night, he asked for her number again, so out of defeat, she gave it to him, and he tried texting her the next day, but she just said something, you know, I'm sorry I gave you my number, as I said, I have a boyfriend, so I'm not really interested. Saquim continued to text her and call her about 15 to 20 times a day, threatening to smash her car and go to her house. As she said in one phone call, he even made threats to go to her house and sexually assault her. This ex-girlfriend tried to go to the police 3 separate times with reports, but nothing really came of it. The defense also showed Saqib's text to Ansarine leading up to the crash, where Saqib was saying things like, quote, if I don't get a call, I'll do what really has to be done, even though I don't want to. And, quote, you taking me as a dickhead? Not for long. And, quote, your son's going to see them videos of us now in the hotel, okay? Don't mess everything up. And, quote, don't say I didn't tell. I'm giving you a last chance. I'm gonna send them now. Your son is gonna see them videos and pictures. And finally, quote, "Are you going to call me back or shall I make your husband mad? I'll tell him everything and make all your pictures and videos go viral right now." Defense also showed messages of Saqib calling her a dumb slut and said that he had nothing to lose. And quote, "When I'm mad, I'm mad. One click of my fingers and I can break your marriage and every other single thing." But the prosecutors did say Saqib wasn't the only one, because May was threatening Saqib as well, saying things like, quote, "I'm sorry, but this year you'll be gone, Saqib. I've got every threatening message you've sent my mom. I know what kind of game you're playing. Keep speaking to her like that and you'll see movement soon." I'm sorry, I don't know why, like, you'll see movement soon. Like, that kind of makes me chuckle. There's another message May also sent her mom to answering that was saying, quote, "I'll soon get him jumped by guys. Leave it to me. He's trying to scare you." And another that read, quote, "Don't worry, mom. Whatever it is, we'll sort it out." It was also said between August 2021 and February of 2022, Saqib had sent out 1,702 texts, while Ansreen only reached out 214 times. It was said Ansreen's husband didn't visit Ansreen while she was in prison awaiting trial, but he did show up to parts of the actual trial. They discussed both of her affairs during the trial and all of the details and exchanges. May's little brother, as well, was going through his hard time, you know, living with the trauma of getting arrested and taken to the station for a double murder he didn't commit, while his mother and sister, who actually committed the crime, sat back and did nothing. And on top of that, he had just lost his mom and his sister. It's very unclear how much of the crime was planned and what was accidental, but from the looks of it, it seems that maybe Rakan had invited all of his friends to help him just jump Saqib, but when they all met to the parking lots, they were kind of caught off guard when Saqib wasn't alone and he simply just drove off. They chased him down, hoping that at some point Saqib would pull over or crash into a ditch. I don't think they really knew that the car was gonna crash and burst into flames. I think that maybe they were just trying to stop him in the street or something like that. As I said, at the trial, Muhammad would testify and give his story, and he claimed that he didn't know what was going on until he was called at 12:30 a.m. to be invited to a hookah lounge. He was picked up by Ansreen, May, and Rakan, and it wasn't until they mentioned that they were actually gonna go jump up guy, he became extremely scared and he didn't know what he was getting into. Muhammad said that he heard two calls that night, one from May to Saqib. Then Rakan had called the driver of the blue sedan and said, quote, "Ram into him," and shortly after this, they crashed. It was also made known at the trial that the driver of the blue sedan, who was Reese, was also convicted a year prior for SAing a 17-year-old girl at her house, to which she tried to say no, but he unfortunately pinned her down and forced her. And that actually led the 17-year-old at an attempt at taking her own life because of the PTSD. Snaf, who was also in the blue sedan, said that he wouldn't do this because his dad has cancer and needs a lot of assistance, and he was the only one who was taking care of him, and so he wouldn't risk his own safety. But unfortunately, Reese's dad would pass away during the trial and he wouldn't be present for the funeral. In the end, May was sentenced to life with possibility of parole in 31 years. Ansreen was sentenced to life with possibility of parole in 26 years. Reese was given life with possibility of parole in 36 years because it was also made known that Reese was driving without a license. Rakan got life without possibility of parole in 26 years. And as for Snaf, Natasha, and Amir, they were charged with manslaughter and given 11 to 14 years. And yeah, that is the end of today's case. If you guys found this case interesting, make sure to give it a thumbs up and subscribe if you are on YouTube. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day today. And as always, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.